Start in Acts chapter number 2. And the title of my message tonight is Missions is a Prison Thing. And I was preaching in Creston, and I did that. Missions is a principal thing, and missions is a practical thing, and missions is a precious thing. And I'm not preaching any of those tonight, but this is from the same group of messages. Missions is a present thing. And we just want to look at a passage of scripture here in Acts chapter number 2 to get us rolling tonight. And we'll look at a few things and look at some different passages of scripture. Acts chapter number 2, look at in verse number 16. It says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And of course, Peter here referring back to what has just taken place. The Holy Spirit's been poured out, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit has taken place. And the people are wondering what this is all about, and people are trying to figure it out. Something they had not seen before. And so then Peter is just clarifying what is taking place here, that this was not indeed something new, but this was something that God had promised and prophesied beforehand. And then it says in verse 17, it says, and it shall come to pass, and he's quoting from Joel and just making reference here to the passage that he has just referred to. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord came. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And then he carries on, but let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would meet with us in a special way. I pray that you would just guide my thoughts and my words and everything, Lord, that the message would come and hit the hearts of your people, starting with me. Father, I pray that you bless in a great way. Lord, I pray that this conference would just challenge and encourage and help and just set the stage. And Lord, I pray that greater things would be done that have been done so far, Lord, because we know that you're not finished. Lord, we know that you're working and that you're still burdened for souls. And still willing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you want us involved in many different ways. Please bless as we look at the scriptures, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting passage of scripture here. Of course, Peter clarifying that this is something that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And when we look at this passage here, I'm not going to go into detail of a lot of this passage here, but we will catch the truth of it here, the principle of it here. And this is just a very, very special time in history. And when I say that missions is a present thing, of course, God has always had a heart for evangelism, and God's always worked. What God has done, he's always done for the redemption of mankind. And so it wasn't not that a mission started when this took place, but there was an open door that took place. In the sight of Israel, or in the minds of Israel, and of course, the church was a mystery in the hearts and minds of the Israel of the Jewish people and of the Jewish faith. When the church, it's almost like because the church was an expression of the wisdom of God, and when Jesus came, it looked like that God's plan had kind of failed. Because the Jewish people rejected him and said he came on his own and his own received him not. And it looked like that God's plan had kind of failed, because in the eyes of the Jewish people, when Jesus would come or when the Messiah would come, what they kind of figured would happen is that would close the doors to all the Gentiles. And so, but God had exactly the opposite in mind. Instead of closing the door, because throughout the history of Israel, I mean, they were a kingdom, but they were always, the door was always open. They always people from other nations could convert to Judaism, and so they would receive the Gentiles, but they were not very open to it. And so they were kind of looking forward, the Messiah's one day going to come, and then we're just going to kind of close all the doors to the Gentiles, and then we're going to rule the world, and we're going to kind of put all the Gentiles in place, and we're going to rule over them and completely have charge, and we're no longer going to have to be afraid of them defeating us, or we're no longer going to have to be afraid of those battles. And so that's kind of what they were thinking, that it would kind of shut the doors to the world, and we're just going to be in charge and rule the entire world. And now the Messiah comes, and he does exactly the opposite of what they were thinking. And so Jesus introduced a time that he called the last days. And the Bible uses the last day, and it also uses the phrase last days. It is a little bit different when the Bible talks about last days or when it talks about the last day. The last day is very specifically focusing on the end time, but the last days is more of a general reference to the end times. And so what Jesus introduced was what the Bible calls the last days. And so when the Holy Spirit came, that last days officially started. And it was like officially the last days were introduced. And so I have 4 points on my message tonight. When I say missions is a present thing, we have the first point I have, we have present promises. See, what took place here is When you look at Israel and how God was dealing with Israel, and Israel, they never had a missions conference. They would not have known, like, what in the world would you have a missions conference for? And so that, because God never commissioned the Jewish people to go into all the world and preach the gospel, they were a nation and they were an example to the entire world, but they were never commissioned to go into the entire world. But what Jesus did here, of course, when Jesus came, there was a great change in time, but with the way God was working with Israel, it was all about promises for the future. Or I should say, mainly about promises for the future. It was not all about promises for the future. They had a lot of present promises, and they had a lot of present privileges. But the focus of the Jewish faith was about future promises, as you read, because that's why we have the Old Testament. We have all these books of prophecy, and it was always about what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And one day, and you see that over and over in the Old Testament, and God always making promises and promises and promises and promises, and their focus was on the future, what was going to take place one day. But then when Jesus comes, it is the end of making promises. And so then Jesus introduced a time called the last days, and it was the end of making promises and the beginning of fulfilling promises. And so we're not looking, we have promises that God is making in the New Testament, and it's not that God doesn't make any promises, but the time of making promises is not now. When Jesus came, he introduced the last days, and it was the beginning of starting to fulfill the promises. And like I said, Jesus introduced that, and then the Holy Spirit comes on the scene and opens the door and to reach the entire world, bringing the entire world in before Jesus is going to establish the kingdom. And so what we have now is we have the promises that God promised, and that's exactly what he is speaking about in Luke chapter number 24. Let's read that. Luke chapter number 24 and the last chapter, the last couple of verses there. Verse 44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Many things were given in the scriptures, but many things they did not understand about the scriptures. And the understanding is not something that we attain to. It is something we achieve. It's something that God gives. And we only understand the scripture as much as God has given us understanding. He gave them understanding and said unto them, this it is written, and this it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So he opens their understanding, that they understand that, because they were thinking about, it's just all about Israel, it's all about the Jewish people. And he opened their understanding. He says, well, I've been preparing this time to open the door to bring all people in. And it says in verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. And it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father. If you take all the promises of the Old Testament and you put them in a package, you have the person of God. See, he always promises himself. And so when he speaks about the promises, the promises began with the Holy Spirit. And so he was the promised one. In the Holy Spirit, we have the promises that God made before. And it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But and specifically referring to the Holy Spirit. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And so here, the Lord says that I'm going to release the promise. And so it was a time when the promises of God were available. When we read Acts chapter number 2, and there's some things that are written there that we say, wow, what is this all about? And not everything that is written in those verses that we read has been fulfilled, but of course many of those things we have already seen. But the truth of the fact is that the promises of God are available now. We have the promises of God right now. Everything that God promises is available to us today. Go to John chapter number 11. Jesus had this focus in the entire time of his ministry. Because Jesus, of course, he came to die for mankind, but when you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, he had a focus. He came to accomplish something, and what he came to accomplish is to prepare the way for the Holy Spirit. See, the Father worked in the Old Testament, and it was always the entire focus of the Old Testament. The Father was working to prepare the way for the Son. And then when the Son came, and that's why when Jesus was asked or when he was challenged about himself, he would never justify himself. He would never explain himself. When they questioned on who he was, he would always refer back to the Father. In other words, he says, I have already been proven who I am. The Father already has given, because Israel was for the purpose of identifying the Christ. The church is for the purpose of proclaiming Christ. And so Christ was already identified, and so he didn't come to explain himself. He always says, I come to do the will of him that sent me. And I just come to fulfill what already was ordered, what already was established before I ever came. So I didn't come to justify myself. So when he was challenged about who he was, he would always just refer back to the Father, because the Father had already laid the foundation, had already established him. And when he came, and so the ministry of Jesus Christ was preparing the way. And that's why I said he introduced a time called the last day. And when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit opened the door so that the all the blessings of heaven were available, and so that we could reach the whole world with the gospel. So we have the promises of God. John chapter number 11. And it's interesting, as you read through the gospel and you pay attention to this, and you just, because of when Jesus, he never said something just for the sake of saying it. None of his words fell to the ground. And so as you pay attention to the way Jesus words things and the way he speaks, I mean, you can always tell that he is accomplishing his purpose. And here in John chapter number 11, of course, Lazarus is sick, and Jesus gets the news. And Jesus kind of rubs brushes it off like if it's no big deal, and he still stays 2 days, and then he starts they start heading towards Judea again, and he tells his disciples that Lazarus is sick, and this sickness is for glorifying God, and then later he says Lazarus sleeps, and they figure, oh, well, it's a good thing. And then he says, well, they're not getting it, so I'm going to just tell them straight ahead that Lazarus is dead. And then they go there, and Jesus goes for the purpose, and he waits until Lazarus is dead, and then he goes because he wants to raise him from the dead. And so he has a purpose in mind. He has a greater purpose. And sometimes when we ask God for something, maybe we're going through a battle, and we say, God, please deliver me. And then he doesn't. And he says, you're going deeper, but the delivery will be greater. And he has greater things in mind than we have. And we say, we just barely get in. We say, God, deliver me now. And he says, no, because you want a great victory? And he says, then just hang on a little bit. And so here Jesus kind of ignores him. And then look at in verse number 20. And here we see Martha. It says, then Martha, as soon when Jesus finally, when she, Martha hears that Jesus has come and that he is just outside of the city, it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And so she just tells Jesus, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have taken place. My brother would not have died, because Jesus, you've healed people. You could have healed him. My brother would not have died. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Listen to Martha. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, Martha was talking about past faith and future faith. She know, like if things would have gone okay in the past, if Jesus would have worked there, it would have been okay. But I know you're going to there's going to be a day when it's going to be okay. But what Jesus does is he brings it right home. He says, I am. You are looking at the resurrection. In other words, the resurrection is here right now. It's no longer. See, she says, you're still a Jew. You're looking forward to the resurrection. But he says, I'm here. You can have it today. And see, it says, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then listen to what he says. Believest thou this? You go in the book of Luke, I think it is, where Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was serving, encumbered about with many things, complaining to Jesus, why don't you get Martha to help me? I mean, she's just sitting there and worshiping, and I'm serving, and she's complaining. But then here, Martha had an introduction and came to the realization that Jesus is life, is the resurrection. In chapter 12, she's serving again, same situation, but she's not complaining. Because before she was trying to get God's favor, but now she had God's favor. We have what God offers in Christ. See, when you read the prophets in the Old Testament, they were always, their message was never, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was always do this and do this and do this. It wasn't the work salvation, but it was always you got to do this and you got to do this. But our message now is turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. We have the promise now. We have resurrection now. We don't say, oh, well, if you put your faith in God, one day it's going to be okay. You can say, no, if you put your faith in God, it can be okay today. Amen. We're living in a time of present promises. I mean, there's going to be much future promises yet. It's the last days. It's not just one time. But the promises are available. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom, and they say, oh, when are you going to establish the kingdom? But he says, the kingdom is already here. See, we're not in the kingdom, but the kingdom is already in us. We already have the victories, the blessings, the privileges of the kingdom available to us today. And so we have present promises. Number two, present plan. Go to John chapter number 4. Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. And he goes through Samaria and he leads the lady to the Lord at the well. And the disciples, they're going into the city and they're buying food for themselves. And and they come back out of the city and they join Jesus again. And the lady runs into the city. And of course, after Jesus took the water out of the well and then described to her that he was indeed the living water. And so after she realizes that she indeed has come in contact with the Messiah, she runs into town and tells all the men, and all the men come out of the city and they come to Jesus. As in verse number 30, it says, then they that went out of the city and came unto him, and in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him on to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so he always would referring to, I am here to fulfill something that I've been assigned to by my Father. And then says in verse 35, it say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. He says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And say, here, I mean, we can draw different aspects of this passage of scripture. We can use it as just today, and that is right to do it, because when we look at this and hear Jesus, obviously, we can draw the truth out that the disciples, they were not aware of the fact that there was souls to be won. I mean, Jesus, they're coming into Samaria, and the disciples say, I am hungry. And then, well, they see a city, and they're conscious of their physical need, and they're going into the city, and they buy food, and they feed their physical appetites. But Jesus, he is conscious of the fact that their souls, excuse me, and so he goes and wins this lady to himself, but she's connected to many souls in the city, and of course, they have a revival there. And so Jesus is soul conscious, and then he says, say not ye there yet 4 months, and come at the harvest. In other words, he is trying to get them to realize the fact that they just missed an opportunity to spread the word, to preach the gospel. There's people that were interested, but they missed it because they were self-conscious and they were not aware of that, because they were always thinking other times. And so we can draw that truth that we must be soul conscious all the time, realizing that there are souls available. But when we look at overall, he says, say not ye there yet 4 months, and then come at the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. The message that Jesus is sending, it is harvest time. I was preaching the other day about that's the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping, we must always remember, both personal and corporately. We must always remember that what we sow is what we reap, and there's always a sowing and reaping time. And we must sow the fields that have not been sown, and reap the fields that are ripe to be harvested. That is always true. But when we look at it as an overall, and we look at what did the time that Jesus was introducing, the time where the doors were going to be open. See, for 4,000 plus years, God prepared a field. And he says, now it is harvest time. See, we have a plan. Jesus had a plan to open the door to the to bring the gospel to the entire world. And when we think about nations, and I don't want to take too much time, but as we travel and we look at different nations, some nations are just very, very ripe for the harvest. For an example, Cambodia. Cambodia had a history of Buddhism and was close to the gospel, but because of the wars and because of they've been broken. People have to be broken. See, if I come and I punch you on the shoulder like that and say, give. And you'd say, oh, I can handle that. I can, that doesn't hurt me that much. I'll just endure that. But if I break your arm, now we have a different story. See, when we're pressured, we just endure. Huh? When God puts on a little pressure, I'll just endure that. But when we get broken, then we have say, okay, let's talk. And some countries have been broken. And they're open. And Cambodia is one of those countries.
I've been in Cambodia twice. I was there last year, and then Natalia and I went this year again. And I cannot get Cambodia off my mind because I just see what God has allowed, the extreme killing. Millions of people died very cruel death, and the people are broken. Speaking to one Filipino missionary that I know there a little bit, and he says, we've started 78 churches. I mean, it's just an open country. And if we let Cambodia go to waste, we are no better than those that kill the people. God speaks very, very strongly about wasting a harvest. And so we have a complete message that we can go and say, you can have victory today. You can have deliverance today. You can have salvation today. See, throughout history, there was never a time where the message was complete, but then in Christ, it was completed. It says, by Jesus Christ, what he brought truth and grace, John 1:17. He brought the complete truth. We have a complete truth that we can bring to Cambodia. Liberia, 14 years of civil war. But not just any civil war. A civil war is where one side fights the other. But there, of course, there's a man going was going to overthrow the government and gathered himself an army. But I don't think he realized, and only in heaven we'll find out what exactly all took place. But there are 16 different tribes in the country, and they all feel that that country belongs to them. And so war breaks out. Guess what? All the tribes see the opportunity to take the country. And so now you have all the tribes fighting against each other. Now you don't just have a civil war. Now you have what only can be described one way as chaos. All these. I was speaking to a preacher there. He says, you never knew who your enemy was. The one pastor that we were working with there, he says, no less than 200 times someone I was with got killed with me thinking I'd be next. And he said, but God was gracious and saved my life. Still pastors in the city of Monrovia. And but they said that, like, everyone turned against everyone. Everyone, all the tribes want to take. Just absolute chaos. Liberia was a country, of course, established by the American free slaves. And it became very prosperous because they were Christians. As a matter of fact, there is an island called Providence Island, right there, cut off by a river, and that's where they landed when they came from America. And they said, we're here by God's providence to reach Africa for Christ. But then they started prospering, and they actually became a nation that all of Africa would look to as an example of having a strong economy. Being wealthy country, and I mean, they had great tourism. They were a great, very established country, small country. And then I think God just reminded them of why they were there. And this war breaks out and just demolishes the country. And the people are broken. They're open to everything, and the cult's also not out. But there's a broken people. And God is always at work. Sometimes we don't see God working, but God is always preparing a people, preparing a field. I think one of the greatest keys to reaching the world with the gospel is paying attention to where God's working. See, we think a plan is going to reach the country, reach the world. It's not. As a matter of fact, God says, don't go until I've empowered you. Don't do this without me. And God is still working. And when there's a ripe field, I mean, we can understand that. And harvest time, I mean, that field is still green. And you put your harvester on that field, and this one is ripe. You say, hey, why don't you go on the ripe field? And there is ripe fields always. And so we must pay attention. Of course, we must be soul conscious. both one-on-one and locally, but globally. It says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. And so we have present promises. We have present plan. God has a plan to reach the world right now. We have present power. Acts chapter number 1. Look in verse number 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And so, of course, we have all over, excuse me, I got a little bit of a cough, but so many different passages of Scripture. And I just want to, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I just want to read a couple of verses here. Really gripped my heart and has really just got me conscious of being submitted and under the leadership and influence and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, listen to verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I come to you, come not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but listen what he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so here he says his preaching was actually done in a demonstration of this Holy Spirit of God and the power of God. And then in verse 5 he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we think about spreading the gospel throughout the entire world, I mean, we cannot do it without the power of God. We cannot convert. It's only by the power of God that people are converted. And God says, but ye shall receive power. I mean, we have the truth of the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are very powerful. I am not questioning that, but God gave us power. He says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And if we want to reach the world, we must be filled with the Spirit of God and operate in the power of God, because it is the power of God that brings conviction. And without conviction, there cannot be conversion. We can go and convince the world, but we must go and preach so that they get convicted. And God gave us the power. So we have the promises of God. We have the plan of God. We have the power of God. And number 4, and lastly tonight, present provision. Go to John chapter number 14. And look at in verse number 11. And I know what I'm saying tonight. You can just dig into it and dig into it and dig into it. But I just want us to get the idea that God is working now. And that God wants to do something now. And that we are part of something that God has been working on throughout history. And we can't say, oh, well, one day it's going to be better than now. All of the promises of God are available to us. And so it's a time where it's not promise making, but promise claiming, promise fulfilling, and living under the promises of God and receiving them and allowing God to just implement them and show them and work them in our lives. And so we're living in a time of a very exciting time in history where all the world can hear the good news of God. And so it's very exciting. And I'm paging here in John chapter 14. Yeah, I'm number 7, so we'll just keep on going. But John chapter number 14, and here Jesus, just preparing the disciples. See, here it's at the end of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and at the end, all he does at the end, or I should say the main thing that he does focus on at the end of his ministry, is prepare his disciples to take over.
Not take over as in replacing him, but taking over the earthly ministry. What he is doing, he's going to heaven. He's not going to stop doing what he's doing, but all he is doing is he changing position. He is taking a higher position, and from there on, he's going to give us the Holy Spirit of God, working through the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus was on earth, he would always talk back. He would always refer to the Father. When he was questioned, he says, I'm not here to represent myself. I'm here to fulfill the purpose of my Father. And he says, the Holy Spirit will do the same thing. The Holy Spirit's not going to come and speak of himself. It's going to speak of Christ. So the Holy Spirit has been given that we can magnify Christ. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot magnify Christ. We cannot proclaim Him. We must have that because the Holy Spirit is given to magnify and to teach us about. As a matter of fact, we probably know more about Jesus from the Holy Spirit of God than from the person of Jesus. Because He's come to teach us about Christ and to magnify Christ and to glorify Christ. And so here Jesus is just preparing the disciples to take over the earthly ministry, and he's going to give them the Holy Spirit, and he's going to work through him and continue on the work of God on earth. And verse number 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he says, if you can't believe that I am actually part of the Father and the Father is part of me, if it's too far to grasp, I mean, just look at what I've done. I've done the work of God on earth. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And as if you look at the work of Jesus Christ, it did not drop off when he left, it picked up. I mean, you can go and look at all the leaders. You look at the leaders and throughout the Bible, and when the leader died, the work died. But with Jesus, it was just the opposite. When he, the leader, took off, the work actually took off. And that just showed that he didn't die, that he is actually just risen to a higher position, doing a greater work. And so you say, wow, what Jesus said on earth, that is amazing. He says, greater works than these shall you do. He says, I am not stopping. I am not finished. I am just going to put it into second gear, and I'm going to work through you. And so we have, and then he carries on, we have the provision of God, first starting with the Holy Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All of heaven's riches are available on earth to do God's work and glorify Him. Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you believe that when you put that gift in the offering plate? See, in Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus introduced that great mission. He said that he established the faith of the disciples in him. And then he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you page over to chapter number 18. In verse 18, Jesus speaking about the church. And he says, whatever they will bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever they will loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What he is, God is saying, I am making heaven's riches available, and I'm giving you the keys. It is when we hang on that God hangs on. And when we release, God releases. We have heaven's riches available to us to do the work of God today.
And I could tell you story after story of how God has provided in our lives. Not just for us to eat, but to do the work of God. And you know, the only thing that has limited has been my faith. My lack of giving, my lack of trust. I've kept on locking the door. But every time I've advanced and just said, God, I'm just going to trust you. Even when I didn't see how in the world he's going to do it. I mean, he uses people that I never even thought about. Many times he's sent through people that I don't even know. And God has always given and given beyond. And so we must believe. And you say, that's available to the evangelist. Mm-mm. That's available for the work of God. For God's people. And we must trust God. As we make a commitment, we must place our faith in God. Put our trust in God. Say, God, what we're giving is not going to come from this earth. It's going to come from you. We have present promises. We have a present plan to reach the world. We have present power, and we have present provision to reach the world. Missions as a present thing. Today, let's not be like Martha. Oh, one day I'll be okay. Let's not look forward to the future. Let's look forward to the future. We should always have one eye on the eastern sky. But we should be involved and say, God, I know this is no longer time where you just make promises. This is a time where you release them. And he'll release them as we put our faith in him. And he says there in Acts chapter number 2, to all. See, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was given to very specific people for a very specific purpose. People with special positions, special calling. But he says, now I'll open up all them, all my people. They'll put their faith in me. Missions is a present thing, Pastor.